translation now. I chose a piece, as you know, I put the Rishon Blessing Yeshiva called Yesodei Torah. This is a Drushes Haran. If you have some time, maybe we'll do the Rambam also. I think it's one of the most fundamental pieces in the Drushes that helps give us a lot of clarity how to look at different, how to evaluate different religious activities. Okay, so let's see. It's Matan, you sent around the email?
I sent it. Everyone got it, I believe.
Everyone got it. Fine. Okay. So, Nevada, page 796. Okay, says in Yerushalmi, Chavivim alai divrei soifrim yoysim yene shal teira. So just like Chazal seemed to imply how chashuv divrei seifrim are, so too being over divrei seifrim carries a very severe penalty. So the Ran asked the obvious question, isn't that strange? So a person doesn't do a mitzvah's essay. So LaMashal, let's give an example. A person didn't learn Krishna Shel Arvis. So what's the halacha? He was mevatel an essay. But let's say he pushes it off for after Chatzos, so then he's chayev misa. Voiv alechem alavim lo yischayev kimal tzaboyim. Voiv asa shvus chayev misa. So a person who is either a lav or doesn't do an essay, which minatoyer there's no misa for that, we say that the person is chayev very specific, much less than misa. But if somebody is over in the rabbanon, who and the whole job of the rabbanon is just to preserve the deraisa. So what's the problem? So he's chayev misa? It makes no sense whatsoever. That's the question Ran puts down. And it's a very strong question. So the Ran answers, Vatshuva bazeh, ki Yisrael ha'ol v'teirah. So the first, there's going to, let me give a hakdama, which he actually addresses later. The first thing is, schar and onesh are not linear. They're not one-dimensional. It's not, okay, did you do the mitzvah? Did you do a kilchasa? Check, schar, onesh. Mitzvahs and averis have many dimensions, which include their attitude, what pushed you in a certain direction, and so on. So whenever we look at an avera and a schar, so in this world, the thing that mixes us up is we get mixed up with the world of schar and onesh in this world and the world to come. We are humans. And the only thing a dayan can ever paskin is ein dayan a mashen of rose. Is this person keeping Shabbos? He's a shomer Shabbos. You're allowed to drink wine. Is this person not keeping Shabbos? He's not shomer Shabbos. And his wine is a problem. Zehu. Bezdin Sivari did an Aveira, when all the conditions are fulfilled, the person is chayev whatever punishment it merits. And despite the fact that the person did tshuva, the person did a tremendous amount of tshuva, so Bezdin's very happy for him that he's getting kapara. Bezdin gives a misa. We, in this world, that Bezdin meets out is a small part of the picture. Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to partner in a small area. And the area is Ka'odam Lainayim Yira, and Kadosh Baruch Hu was the Levav. A person and Beis Din can only look at facts. And what went into it, they have no shaykhis to it. But when we talk about things in the bigger picture, there's going to be many more dimensions than the dry halachic requirements or what cases a mitzvah avera. So he says like this: Vatshuva bazeh ki Yisrael ha'oival divrei Torah mitzad ashit kifena yetzer ye'onesh kimishpatei ha'Torah. A person who's Oivan Divrei Torah, because the Yetzirah bar, it pushed him, pressed him, so the person is going to get the onus that the Torah prescribes. Aval ha'oivah divrei chachamim, achay yosei shem divrei Torah, loytiyem told us ha'yetzirah tkifasei, aval mitzara bizoyen, v'lachen yischayev misa. So Ron says here a lot. He says, let's look at this person. This person was a was somebody who had offered him the tremendous something made out of chaylev, some food made out of chaylev. It was extraordinarily good, really, really tasteful. And the person said, "No way." So the person's self control is really remarkable. And the person said, "No way, it's chaylev, no way." Then there's a shtickle chicken with butter, and he says, "You know, it's only the rabbanim." So the person is displaying zilzel. The person is displaying not the reason why he was tempted by this butter and chicken sandwich was not because of this tremendous taiva, but because it's only the rabbanan, big deal. So the person is being mezalzel, and this fits into the pasuk, Dvar Hashem boza, v'sitzoyis of hefer. The reason why this person is being made for this mitzvah is because Dvar Hashem boza, and therefore he has no excuse. The first person says, "I know how important it is. I know how important the mitzvahs are, but I was so tempted by that sandwich, it overcame me." So this person, how do we describe this person? As a person who's God-fearing, but has a strong taiva. And yes, his fear is not as big as his taiva. Somebody who transgresses the rabbanans, not because of taiva, but because he's kind of, you know, it's big deal. It's not something that's mechayvim terribly much. That person is, lechein is chayv misa. V'shema, Toshiv afalpi shataynas aspects. Okay, so I'm telling you why it's worse. But mehechan yotza l'rabbeinu al chiyuv misa. So why chiyuv misa? The matzina b'lav de leitosu chiyuv misa. Okay, so let's say we're going to put it under leisaser. But the Torah itself doesn't give leisaser chiyuv misa. So let the lav of leisaser includes this point of somebody willfully disregarding Rabbanan. So, and it still says no Misa. In other words, there's a famous Marik, they ask in a lav of Leisaser, should every Rabbanan not be Deraisa? And the answer is, one of the best answers is that if a person eats butter and chicken because he has a strong Yetzirah, so that Iser is only the Rabbanan. If a person eats it because the Rabbanan can mandate Isurim, they don't have the right to impose Takanis and Zeris, then the person is Leisaser. So Ron asks, okay, worst case scenario is Leisaser. But Leisaser doesn't have Chiv Misa. Shuvascha Hashel Zeis Meshechas Kamashelis Ima. This brings a lot of more Shailas. Shematsino Kama Nashim Gin Oinish Rabbe Achas. You find in Tanakh and the Gemara where a person gets a terrible einish for one avera, afal pishin is very great lunch b'teira. It seems out of proportion. Something happens to a person way out of proportion to what the Torah would say. And then the Ran goes on. Ran is very ma'arich in his drashas around. I skipped the three dots. Obviously, where I skipped there, I wanted to try to get a thread. But shuvach alei l'shelus. So he gives a yisod which is part of the yisod that we started with before. Ki einishim shenemru b'teira hin klolim sheyesigol chol adam. The punishments that Torah describes are the punishment for a person who did this avera, only looking at the perspective of how chomer or what type of avera it is. It's not including all the other factors. In other words, it's as if the Torah is saying, for people with equal attitudes and equal taivas and equal circumstances, given these averas, this. It's like saying that a certain disease will cause X and Y symptoms and will be fatal in X percentage of cases, barring that there are other complicating factors. So the Torah is giving you a picture of the world of averas and mitzvahs, describing the relative severity of it. It's important because it's important in the world of halacha, what's teicha what, and so on. It's important in the world of halacha if we mete out those punishments, like Mises Besden and Malchus and so on. So the Torah, the Oinshim that tell you the severity of the avera are klalim. Aval yesh oinshim chalukim kifi apratim. There are many other details that go into what will really be the punishment of the person. Minashamayim. Ke oival divrei Torah mitzat toldos hayetzer. A person who's oiva mitzat toldos hayetzer, meaning strong taiva. Ye onesh alav echad malchus aboyim. So a person eats chaza, he gets malchus aboyim. Aval al oiva divrei Torah mitzat hayush. Yush in this case means couldn't care less. It's unimportant to me, insignificant, nothing. Bazehu boizeh dvar Hashem. This is called boizeh dvar Hashem. Ve'en l'chol kol koitz ve'koitz she'v'teirah, sh'lo yeschayev ha'oivah bo b'ke'inyan zeh misa. And there isn't one here in the Torah that a person would not be oivah misa for doing it. In other words, if a person doesn't do the most minor mitzvah avera, the reason being he doesn't think it important enough, then it's chayiv misa. Hashem said. In other words, if your point of transgression is yetzahara of taiva, loss of money, etc., so then we have a scale of severity. But if the reason why you feel comfortable being over is because you couldn't care less, it's unimportant, so what, it's minor, then a person is chayiv misa. A person who does it because it's our push to eat chaza, it's a chaza problem. His problem is a problem with chaza. Because he couldn't care less, so then all of Torah goes down. So what's the difference? If I don't wear tzitzis because it's hot, and I'm very uncomfortable, so tzitzis is a problem. Again, obviously, we're talking about it's a beggar's chayav tzitzis, whatever, and, you know, the circumstances. But if a person says, because, I can't be bothered, like the English say, then the person, the word buzzer, we usually translate buzzer as being some sort of insulting, embarrassing, something like that. That's not the case over here. Buzzer means... makes light of. In other words, you know, it's insignificant. It's not worth it. So one important gauge is how much is this person being over on something that is what's his attitude? I once had a personal mitzvah where it's something shook me terribly. I went to somebody's office actually. It was one of the Taneisim, not Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur, obviously, not Yom Kippur, obviously, and not Tisha B'Av either. It's one of Dal Taneisim. And the person held himself, I guess, to be Ben Taira or something, and he was sipping Coca-Cola. Okay. So I had, there's 101, this person could have been sick, plenty of people, our Mesoros has been to be Makel when there's a Tzora, not a problem. He offers me a Coca-Cola, and I was kind of taken aback. And then he says to me, I don't, these demonics don't interest me, something like that. It shook me, because if the person had said he's sick, he's diabetic, he suffers from, even strong headaches. I have no problem. But when a person, first of all, the fact that he could, A, he didn't have to sit and drink in front of me. I mean, I tell people, when I tell people they can eat, I tell them, but not bitzibur. You know, you don't, it creates a zilzel in other people's minds. You can, you know, offering me a Coke, hello? Like, I mean, what, you know, and then saying, you know, the minor tanaisim don't interest me or something like that. This is a person, I think, called himself to be Haredi of sorts. Was shocking to me, and it, you know, and the more I thought about it, I find it was how cavalier it was about it. I can't care less. Then he says, there's another fact that goes into it. It makes a difference who you are. Somebody who's seemed to be close to Hakadosh Baruch Hu is more liable than acherim. This is something I think about a lot. You know, whenever something bad happens, so we love. Well, we're from, so it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Maisim. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the coronavirus on us. And the reason is because of them. Fill in the them as you feel pleased. But it's always them. Now, let's ask a riddle. I have two people. One person never steps foot in a shul. The other person, me, I daven three times a day, to a bit similar as possible. But not always so in Kedusha Beis HaKnesses. Maybe we'll talk sometimes in Davening, they'll come this, that, whatever it is, I'm lacking something. Which is worse? So obviously, every Baal HaLacha will say, you go Daven. If somebody will come to a Rav, and the Rav asks, why don't you ever come to a Daven? Just because I'm not so in Kavod Beis HaKnesses, that Meir HaRav will let him have it, rightfully so. But Aliba Emes. This person has no sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This person has no sense of the chshivas of tefillas also. But I do. I make it my business to come to shul three times a day. So there's a tvi on me that may possibly be stronger than the other person. I, who knew better, am held accountable for a lot more. This is the way we understand all the figures in Tanakh that are associated for things that we, you know, that they're put through the rack for things that Chazal tell us were technically not usa, but they're judged by who they are. So another factor. So Duran gives us two very critical factors. One, what's your attitude at being over the Avera? Two, where are you in the world of Torah? The more you are, the more severe the things, the shortcomings, because you knew better. You should have known better. Shema Tomeran says, "Hechad Nimer Sefer Torah." Where am I getting this from? Is it a pasuk? Is it a chazal? I'm saying a huge chiddush here. Where's it coming from? Harei Raya Brurim Sefer Sanhedrin. Torah Rabbanan. Kidvar Hashem Boza Zoyme in Torah Hashemayim. VeOmasham Reb Nosnaime Kol Mishne Mashkiach Mishnasoy. If he's not careful enough with his learning, he's not enough of a masmid, he's not enough, he doesn't chazir enough. So we have two Dvar Hashem buzzes. Ha'oimet Ein Torah Min HaShemayim, which puts him solidly in the line of Apikarsim, and somebody who's not Mashgiach HaMishnasoy, which puts him solidly square in the midst of the yeshiva world. What's the, like, how do we put the two together? So he says, V'zein Zerchiyin, Shalek V'omim Nachas HaKoyer Kishma Shachas HaAvis Ki Mitzis LaYomush. When a Dora Mai Kamashim the Zuzi Nafshe, Hainer of Gidl Kamaisa, Kamashi, but Nafshe is Rashav Haas. The Mora says the Maisa bottom line is that you Yoytze B'di Evid, the Talmud Torah, with Krishna Shas Varis. In Kain, Hechom Kan, Shoysik B'Tor, Tom, Shayim Mashkech, Mishnasi, Yavachal, Vashem Baza. So somebody who's not sitting and learning 24-7 is Vashem Baza, when you could check off the list of Talmud Torah with Krishna Shas Varis, Vatiris was there. A person who's not Oisik at all the Torah. They say he's a battler. He doesn't, you know, he likes doing, you know, whatever it is, hacking around and not doing anything. But a person is learning. If he is Oisik in Torah and not careful with Torah, then he's somebody who is doing wrong. It's along the lines of what he said before. So here the Ron explains the rationale behind the Chi of Misa. Let's look at this a minute. Imagine a person is fixing something that's battery, that has batteries attached to it. It is possible to get some sort of shock if you have enough voltage lined up in the batteries, and you've attached something wrong. You could get some minor tiny little tingle. If nobody who works with the type of voltage that's in a battery is going to put on gloves and rubber boots and work with it, because big deal, worst comes to worst, it's a tingle, and Shalom Yisrael. A person who works on the switch box, he three times checks to see that the everything is down. If people who work on power lines, I mean, they're dressed a certain way. They cut the power from one end of the county to the other end of the county because you feel how important it is. And that's why you're so careful. Depending, a person who invests $100 doesn't do due diligence on the place where you invest the money. A person who invests $100,000 does a lot of due diligence. The Zehirus in Torah, the Torah gave us the koach to make takanas and gzeiros. And the question is, why did the Torah tell us? The answer is, the zehirus is not be'etzim. Muktzah is not be'etzim chol Shabbos. So what is it? It's an expression of how important is it to you. If it's very important, if a person understands Shabbos to be Shabbos, Then, my gosh, I can't be careful enough. So let's make one fence, another fence, another fence. I'm working on a high power voltage. I really, really, I need to dress with the whole thing. I need to cut off the power. I need to double check it's cut off and triple check and so on. So the Dini Derabbanan are an expression of how important is it to you? How much do you see it as being significant? That's Yiras Shamayim. So a person who's Oiva Nir Chachamim, since Nir Chachamim are the essence, the embodiment of that expression, then anything that we're the Mezals in Nir Chachamim, because we don't care. Shekoyedua Shekabonas Kalatarik Yedahasi Yerushim. The Eina Tachlis Yesin Masiga Chachma. Ki Asaga Sarim Chachmim Mu'uta. For Inu Mishenema Boy Vayachim Kol Odom. So the Rav says here another very important point. It says Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem, the tachlis of Chochma is Yiras Shamayim. What does that mean? So he says like this. When a person, what tachlis is learning have for us? And learning in the big sense of the word. So obviously, some level of learning is critical to do the mitzvah. No person can be mekayim mitzvahs if he's not doing what he needs to, if he doesn't know what he's supposed to do. So that's obvious. Anything more than that, our deeper understanding of things is to give us a sense of awe and reverence. The Rambam in Yisodei HaTorah, when he speaks about reaching, finding HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Av and Yira, he speaks about the Hizbeinus in the Chachma breeds a tremendous tshuka for Kirva and a tremendous this awe of how insignificant we are b'fnei the tmim deis and so on. So divrei chachma past. So when a person is learning the divrei chachma past what's needed for the here and the now, it's not to know it all, because we'll never know it all, but to get a sense of, you know, of how oyem v'noyer it is, how extraordinary it is, how overwhelming it is. One of the reasons why Ben Torah is zohir in mitzvahs, he's learned the sugya. Even learning the sugya, he understands that it's not, well, some rabbi said this, some rabbi said this, I think I'll find it more comfortable to do it this way. It's a sugya. It's huge. It's how to learn up this gemara. It's what do we do to run. A person gets a sense, even the psak halacha, of the grandeur of the halachic sugya, and it imposes a certain year on the person. Certainly, when a person learns the inyanim of the reimimus, of the pnimius of the mitzvah, a person gets a certain sense of how big this is, how great it is. Stoka to reimim goy v'chesel mechatos. Ritzein melech le'eved maskil bevrosit hiya mevish. Apirish. Ki afal pishat stoka to roimim goy. So even though it's stoka, lift up a nation. A chasodim shoysim a goy l'asham kichatos. And the chasodim they do is a kapar of some sort. Afal pikein lo yigdal schorek v'sha'asu Yisrael. V'cholzev neshein mekin de duke ketzis. V'latachlesu l'hasi yirik. When a person really understands the world of mitzvahs, means he has Torah, that gives a person Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim means a sense of what it is. Let's take a kid who's playing with electricity. He's playing with the outlet. So we can tell him, no, don't do it. He can understand that there's a patch coming. He can be a kid who listens, but he's not old enough to understand what heavy voltage, a high current is. Doesn't understand the implications of it, doesn't really get it. So Umas Olam can do specifically good things and stay away from bad things, and they're commended for that, but there's no Havana and Asaga of what that big world is. That's the round. I want to, I guess, apply it a little bit in a bigger picture. I want to start with, so we spoke a lot over here about personal attitude towards it. The fact that how serious do we take our Yiddishkeit and the mitzvahs, the Olam HaMitzvahs and Olam HaVeiros. That's one aspect over here that's very critical. Obviously, that's what it's dealing with. The fact that a Ben Torah who learns the sugya in a big way, it allows him to gain a lot more of a respect and an awe for the details of the mitzvah. It means that a person who is part of that world has a much bigger achrayas to do what's right. And therefore, when something happens that may or may not be right or wrong, we need to measure ourselves by a higher standard, be'etzem, because we're expected to understand better. But I want to apply this to a broader area of klal and so on to understand something. In the last 200 years in Europe, especially in America to some degree. There were a lot of halachic issues that many rabbanim in Europe, especially the Hungarian, the some sofas world, the Galiciana world, were very kanoi, very strict about a lot of things. Looking at them from a halachic point of view, there doesn't seem to be ground for the chumras hadvarim. All of the things that there was such a big pain about really, really doesn't seem to be where you put the bima, how far down the aisle it is. Even things like, you know, carrying the nifta on a shoulder, on a horse, on a this, on a that. The whole world of Chodesh Asu Min HaTorah, what's it based on? What's the real underpinning of that? And so people say, well, it could lead to reform. Well, anything could lead to reform. So what is the point? I think there was an intuition that it made a big difference whether something was coming from a zilzel or something was coming from a desire for a change. In other words, there's one thing if it's a halachic shaila as such. The person's motivation is, it's easier to do this way, I want to do that in the other one. I think that they felt the underlying motivation, the underlying, ruach, the underlying geist was, all these are cobwebs that need to be swept out. The attitude, in other words, there was a lot of intuitive resistance. People proposed changes and different things, changes which objectively worked in some places, like in Germany and America, in education, many, many different things. And the struggle against it, against the reform movements, there are successes for the German model, there are successes for the Hungarian model, there are failures for both. But understanding what the shot was, had an objective issue. Can I use the wagon for a mace because it's hard to get there and nobody else is using a wagon? I think there would have been a different attitude in the Chuvas. But the question was, this all of this old-fashioned stuff we're going to sweep out. That was a Dvar Hashem buzzer. And it's something that's very hard to divine sometimes. In a Domer, a person who comes in a Kiruv situation and where the mitzvah is bringing in with all the kulas is there to bring people to time. It enhanced them to where a community who was keeping things that they should keep comes and was sort of getting rid of all the old stuff because there's a Dvar Hashem buzzer. It's not easy always to tell what, and this is one of the areas where you say somebody was the achrayus of his community, of generation, makes that. But understand the issue. If there's something that there can't be a compromise with, it's that issue of what your attitude is. Going back to that story, the person was sipping the Coke. Had I seen a non-from person eating treif, would have bothered me, but I wouldn't have felt so. I wouldn't have felt so disgusted. Here's a person who knew, should know better, and it's not because he has a tremendous time. It's because to say it, if one thing the person says that it was no problem. The person say, I really apologize, but you know I have a problem. I get dehydrated very quickly, and I have diabetes. I have chashash. There are 101 good medical reasons. And again, I come from a Maseres where my father-in-law was very machmir on the pikuach nefesh. You know, he comes from that brisker European line where, fine, I have no problem with that. But a person is flippant about it. So the question is just, when will everything fall down? Buzzer means, it means nothing to me. And that's the yisod of, that's the biggest yisod for and Torah. That's the point of the Rabbanans. These are zahiris, things that are important to me. I go out of my way, one protective layer, a second, a third, I back up, I line up, and so on. Those are all things that are indication. So chumris, when a person is makel, so one person is makel because you have to, one person is makel because that's the halacha, and one person is makel because he's a kaldas. Kaldas means, okay, you know, not so important. It's not the end of the world. That is the end of the world. Saying it's not the end of the world is the only thing that is the end of the world. And it's an important thing to understand it. It's a tzibud. I think many of you will be involved in public affairs one way or another. It's something that you know, with Rabbanus and teaching. Understand Yir Shamayim means seeing and valuing this chashivas, with that this is the most important thing that I have. This is it. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. Kula and Chumris are not ever a determinant of the value of where a person or kehila is. It's Kalus Das versus Kvod Shamayim. Is a person Makel and he's Makel because I couldn't kill us? Or is a person, like somebody said once, I heard two chassidim argue, one was a Ger Chassid, I don't know if it was a Ger Chassid, but they were arguing, the Ger Rebbe said that, you know, when the price for Sroigim went up high, he said, he made a takana that every house, every varabai should buy one asik for everybody. And sure enough, the prices went down. You know, he made a takana for a year, I think they did it, whatever. So one person, she was arguing, you see? The other person said, I wonder though, he said, if when the prices of a Ranot Kira, those are closets in Eretz Yisrael, and they can be fancy, very fancy. When the prices for that are high, do they make it a con everybody should share one? Or that's Yare Val Yav, everybody has of his own? Like, is this care for public welfare and money only for Esregim? Or this extends everywhere? That's a real test of things and understanding that. So that's what the Ran is saying here. It's a very fundamental Ran. There's so many sodas coming out of this Ran. One is that the real evaluation of a person's mitzvahs and ma'asim is not just kind of on one axis. Halachically, did it fit the criteria or not? It's what was your motivation and what's expected from you. Those are two other criteria that he specifically mentions that will determine in the Olam HaEmes and in the big picture what is the Chumrah of the Aveira. He explains that Yiras Shamayim, which means the regard and the awe that I have for the Dvar Hashem, that's the sort of everything. The Rabbanans, in its whole set of it, is the expression of those. Of that awe and that regard and that chashivas. And therefore a person who's mezalzan rabbanis, because he doesn't understand the chashivas of a gedah, that person is somebody who's a kaldas and that's chayiv misa because he's undermined everything of Torah. Okay, I think said he wanted to talk a little bit, questions, answers, something. I don't know what the schedule.
I think people want to ask questions. I assume people want to ask questions. So if people want to.
Okay. Al Kapanim. So it's very nice. And Ashreichem that you're sitting and learning. And the Rambam, which we didn't see, the Rambam on the first page is the Rambam that speaks about a person. It's the same idea in many ways, but Baza Dvar Hashem, Dvar Hashem Baza, is Efshet Lasik B'Torah Ve'Eino Oisik, Oishakar V'Shana V'Pirsh Tav La'Olam. A person that could learn and be Oisik is somebody, you know, it's if you have the opportunity and you don't take it, it's because you don't care. If somebody comes to me and says, you know, I have a great deal, I have a fantastic business investment, it'll make $100,000, you know, come out 100% sure it's good. So the only excuse I have for not doing it is I say, I don't have $100,000, and so I can't invest it. But someone comes to me and says to me, here's $10. If you invest $10, you'll earn another dollar on it. I'll tell them, you know what? Another dollar is not going to make a difference for me. I disregard it. A person who has time to learn and he doesn't use it for that, and the things that he does alternatively are not of any great consequence, then Chas V'Shalom, he has this issue of Dvar Hashem Baza. In other words, again, how valuable is it to you? My Rebbe Chaim Shalevitz would say the following. He used the following mashal. He answered a kasha. It says that Esav sold his Bechayra for Nezir Adashim. So Chaim asked, it's a Mekartos. I mean, a Nezir Adashim for a Bechayra, it's a Mekartos. So Reb Chaim said the following tshuva. He said, Reb Chaim Shalevitz, I'm talking about my Rebbe. He said, there are things that have, mekatos is measured, A, if there's a market value, so it's measured vis-a-vis the market value. If the market value for this is $1,000, and you sold it for 500 because you didn't realize the market value, that's a mekach tos. If something has no market value, but it's sentimental, it's a picture of my great grandfather was very big tzaddik and I'm very machab of it. Its value in the market is zero. So I can set the value and say, this to me is precious, I want $1,000 for it. So anything where the value is not a market value, you set the price for it. The day that Esav set the price of Chayra for Nezir Adashim, that's its true value for him. So Reb Chaim said, when a person leaves the Gemara to the Olam HaMaisa, so if he left it because he's starving, because it's kind of a pikuach nefesh, so that means his learning is worth the fashas. If a person leaves it for a piece of chocolate, then his learning has been now valued vis-a-vis a piece of chocolate. That's, in other words, what you close the Gemara for gives you the value of the Gemara. So a person has a Gemara for something that's, he has a chiv to do, he has a chayis to do, he must do it, then that's the value. If not, he's marked, if the person closes it for shtus, then he's marked his learning down to the value of a shtus. That's the way Chaim would describe it. So, and that's what Ram says, if a person has the chance to learn. There was an extremely, it's interesting how sometimes things are self-fulfilling. You know, it says by Shlomo, he said, I'll take an ex-wife for le'echta. Many years ago, there was a bracha by Asin Shiva, who was really, really brilliant, very, very smart, came from a complex background, really had a big yad in learning. And something went into him, I don't know what it was. There were a lot of other issues, these things are common issues, but he decided that he's going to keep only the rices, not the rabbanans. He went to law school and he decided on this mahalach, because, you know, with this type of cheshmen. So Baruch Hashem is a living fulfillment of what Chazal said. he ended up keeping zero and gone completely. So it was kind of like, if he wanted to be so sedivri Chazal, he ended up, you know, like Chazal said, if you're not nizer with shnius, you're going to come to be boiled the erva atzma. So in Baruch Hashem, he was zeicha to become a living example. I understand, but tachlis, you know, and the truth was, it was the attitude. You know, once the person's attitude is off, everything goes. Okay, good.
I just want to take this opportunity. Number one, as Rav Zilman just sent out, anyone who wants to ask a question may take a couple of seconds to mute. And I just want to take this opportunity also, this would have happened before, but Rav Lopiansky Ba'an Vasanuso did not give us a chance to introduce him. I don't think he needed an introduction beforehand. He definitely does not need an introduction afterwards. But I do at least a moment of Hakaras HaTov. Matan and Rabbi Zilberman were critical in making this happen, as well as Rabbi Kalinsky. And our Hakaras HaTov is perhaps even greater in retrospect, to Rav Lopiansky for his time and for the potentially transformative messages and insight. So we're incredibly grateful. I'm not sure which time Rav Lopiansky is in, but it's a kavod for all of us, all the chevers that are represented on this call, the Masmidim program and the undergraduate Chabura and the Beis Marash Katan. It's been a kavod for us to be able to spend time with you. Perhaps even this there'll be more opportunities in the future, and once again, if fellows have questions, please do not be bashful. You can send a chat to Rabbi Zilman, or you can just unmute yourself and speak up.
And Menachem Gans wants to ask a question.
Okay, just introduce yourself. Where you're from, Menachem?
So, my name is Menachem Gans. I'm from Tinek.
Okay.
Ondas Rebbe that. You know, now people, Minyanim are starting to come back, and people are talking, have been talking about the whole Milo Tefillah B'Tzibor, it's Mekabela, it's Nishmas, and all these things. But for the Mispal himself, you know, the result of what Tefillah B'Tzibor is has a little nafkamina, really, for one davening. So on to ask Rebbe, meaning, I guess, what would, how would we describe the experience of tefillah and how that changes when it's betzibur?
I think it's more subtle. You know, some people actually felt more kavana when they daven themselves. But I want to describe another dimension. We exist as a klal. The Ramban says this l'mashal about Shabbos and Yom Tov, Mikroi Kodesh. You know, we as halachists tend to be mezalz, davening on a shul Shabbos Yom Tov, not such a big mitzvah. For people who keep one mitzvah a week, it's coming to shul Shabbos morning. We don't tend to give it the right regard. So from a personal level, it's tefillah, it's tzibur, maybe Kriyas HaTorah, maybe this, maybe that. But Klal Yisrael as a klal, turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a whole different level of a mark on the world. In other words, individuals are unique. And another way of saying unique is strange and idiosyncratic. This guy's got this mishagas, guy's this mishagas, this mishagas. You can't, it's like one of the reasons why science has such a negative thing about anecdotes. Anecdotes can be true, but there's one of everything. It's like, believe it or not, this guy was born with two heads, this guy was born with three eyes, this guy was born this way, that way. It means nothing. When you have a tzibur, it means something. And people come together and all of us say, Nekadeh Shemcha Ba'olam, we want together. It takes on meaning way beyond what any yachid could possibly mean. And that's why there's such a chashivist it. Even people, it's both ways. We're doing something that is an incredible kvod shamayim. It's not one person, it's not another person. It's a tzibur. The people who come, one of the things that when you come, you know, Balei Tshuva, who come to a firm community, all of a sudden they realize this is not a personal philosophy. This works for a community. You can have a community of people. You can have a society of people. You can have a nation of people that are committed, that feel the same way and live the same way. So understanding tzibur for what it really is, I think is incredible. It also allows a lot of people to hang on to it. And we shouldn't be mezalzel. There are people that they consider themselves Jewish, from whatever, because they're part of that community. So I'm creating a sort of tent that allows people to hang on to it, mentally and emotionally hang on to it. So I think once we start, instead of looking at what is tefillah b'tzibur doing for us, what tefillah b'tzibur creates in terms of a tzibur, then I think it takes on a whole different mashmos.
Jeremy? Lasse Lovell. Jeremy Morgan from Muncie.
Okay.
Lasse Lovell with our Yomim Sheimahem Chifetz. There's no Yetzer Hara. So if there's no Yetzer Hara, then there's no. Then would there be no Bechira? And if there's no Bechira, then we want there to be a Zman where there's no Bechira? How's the Torah Shtim?
Let's look at the same conundrum in a sense. When a person works, nominally, we all work in order to have a wonderful retirement, one of the American dreams. So you work very, very hard to have. Now, the day you retire, you stop making money and you live the life you want to live, but that's it. You're stuck that way. So when you're working, you're not living the life you want to live and you're working hard, but you're building up something. When you retire, you're living, quote unquote, the life you want to live, supposedly, but you're not doing it, you're not making any more. We today live in Hayom LaSosam. That's who we are. That's our mentality. For us to think that there comes a day when we can't do tshuva, we can't do more than we are, we can't change and become better, is unthinkable. Being Ben Olam Haba, the Lasse Lovo, means that in that mode, we're in the mode of Machal Ekal Schar, and we can enjoy the Schar that we gain over the time. So for us now, looking at Lasse Lovo, it's unthinkable in a certain sense. it's something, you know what, it's be stuck, whatever imperfection I have stuck in the Lossed Lovo, that'll be the ideal Metzius for us. So looking at it today, we need to understand how precious the Vilna Goyen, when he was dying, he cried, he took his tzitzis, and he said, I'm leaving a world where for a few pennies you can earn so much. But he didn't sit and cry in Olam Haba. I mean, I'm projecting, but I'm saying that the point of it is, as long as Olam Haza, the mindset is the preciousness of Ayom Lasosa. The day we move on to that world, that's a world of Kabbalah Schar, built. The reason why we enjoy it is because it's built on the work we put in. It's not gratis. It's coming because we had invested the time, effort, and so on.
And what place is there for Torah and mitzvahs if there's no Bechira?
So Torah and mitzvahs are not just ways how to earn something. It's the emes of life. It, just like for us today, eating and drinking are biological realities. Resting is a biological reality. Exercise is a biological reality. Torah and mitzvahs are the reality of Lasid Lavay. So Torah and mitzvahs b'teiras, this is life in with the perspective of Lasid Lavo, that's the room for it. It's not termites, it's not just hechetim, it's termites char. They are the emes. We don't see it so much. We need the incentive of knowing that there's something coming. But Lasid Lavo, this is the life. This is the metzias. Okay, it's very, very nice to be such a choshech habur of Bnei Aliyah. And Bez Hashem, keep learning and keep steigen, Bez Hashem.
Thank you so much, Kvod HaRav.
Yeah.